Hello everybody, it's Josh from Ireland, welcome back to my channel. Anyway, just a couple of days ago, Sweden formally acceded to NATO. So that's very good news for NATO, given that Sweden has got a very advanced tech sector, significant military manufacturing base, and of course, it's a huge setback for Russia. It shows that Putin's war of aggression has backfired. You go back before this Ukraine war, and almost nobody in Sweden advocated applying to NATO. And now they've not only applied, they've been accepted. They're a full member of NATO. That's it. It's been signed off on. There was a ceremony in Washington, D.C., where Sweden was formally accepted as a NATO member. And the Swedish flag is going to be hoisted at NATO headquarters in Brussels tomorrow. So well done, Vladimir Putin. You strengthened NATO. You didn't want NATO to expand. It's expanded precisely because of you. Likewise, Finland, who joined last year, so that's bringing up to 32 countries. Now, St. Petersburg is Vladimir Putin's hometown. They're on the Baltic Sea. Every other Baltic country besides Russia is a NATO member. So the Baltic Sea is a NATO lake, and therefore Russia's Baltic fleet is useless because, you know, is the Baltic is quite small. They're hugely outnumbered in the Baltic, and they can't get out of the Baltic in the case of war because, you know, NATO could easily block it. Because the choke point is the Kattegat between Sweden and Denmark. That is 3 kilometers across. Very, very easy to stop them going anywhere. So the Swedes have been neutral for over 200 years. You go back to the end of the Napoleonic Wars, and Marshal Bernadotte, he became king of Sweden, having overthrown the Vasa dynasty. He was one of Napoleon's marshals, a Frenchman, Jean Bernadotte, and he founded the dynasty that rules to this day. And then he decided that he would no longer be an ally of France. He withdrew, who was neutral, because Sweden had been defeated. Finland was taken off them and given to Russia. Okay, so Sweden still continued to rule Norway. And then Norway got home rule about 1884. The example was spared Gladstone with relation to Ireland. 1905, the Norwegians said, we want to complete separation. And the Swedes said, not on your Nelly. But the Swedish public said, we're not willing to fight about this. So they didn't fight. But anyway, they've been neutral over 200 years. And precisely because they don't have any allies, said, therefore, we've got to have a credible deterrent of an excellent military and their own military factories to manufacture all their armaments, because they may not be able to import them. And Bofors, for example, they export a lot. This is the country that invented dynamite. Admittedly, Alfred Nobel did it as an engineering tool. They didn't realize it had a military application, and its applicability to killing people was something which he hadn't apprehended, but military men picked on very quickly. Right, so Turkey was chair about letting them in, were persuaded to in the end. They said, oh, there's been a Quran burning there, and you play host to all these Kurdish separatist organizations, which Turkey prescribes as terrorist bodies. And somehow they were able to sort that one out. I thought that some douceur might have happened because of the corruptibility of the Turkish authorities. I'm sure you could cross Erdogan's hand with silver. Incidentally, he announced he's going to step aside as president, the man who's ruled Turkey either as prime minister or as president for 22 years. The post-Erdogan era is upon us. I didn't see that one coming. He's 70. I thought he was going to hang on as long as possible, but I was wrong. So, right. And then Finland obviously joined last year. There's several more NATO candidate countries. Obviously, Ukraine wants to join, but that would trigger the Third World War. They would, of course, invoke Article 5, but then that would mean a NATO meeting about it. Would NATO countries go to war? Everyone believes there's a tripwire, that you're bulletproof if you're a NATO, nobody would dare touch you, which is almost true. Russia's done very little to NATO countries. And, you know, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, where on earth would they be if it wasn't for NATO? Because they're far, far easier targets than Ukraine. They're softer targets because it's much smaller. You know, Estonia with only 1 million people. Ukraine with 40 million people finds it difficult to hold their own. So 1 million people would just swallow it whole in a few days, if not hours. So anyway, it's very good news for NATO. And remember, to be allowed into NATO, you've got to show that you can contribute to defense, not that, you know, you're highly vulnerable and virtually defenseless. NATO has to do everything for you. One of the few things that Trump said that's correct is NATO countries don't spend enough. So many of them don't spend that 2% of their GDP. The United States is spending more like 6%. The UK has always been a bit above 2% and getting up to 2.5% in a few years. Should be there now. And so because they're spending so much on welfare, on education and stuff like that, that means that they just don't have enough money left for defense, or not willing to tax more, borrow more, take whatever necessary measures there are to beef up their armed forces. Poland is the one that's at the highest 6%, because of course they've been invaded by Russia on multiple occasions, and you know, thousands of their civilians were killed by the Soviet army even after the end of the Second World War. So they don't want that to happen again. And of course Putin openly invokes the memory of Stalin, someone he praises effusively. So it's very good news that they're in. But so are some of these smaller Southeast Europe, East European countries would also like to join. Moldova's fought shy of applying. They got 1,500 Russian soldiers illegally occupying Transnistria. President Maya Sandu said that her security services have uncovered a Russian plot to oust her. But, you know, I thought it was now or never. This was a golden opportunity for the Moldovan forces to take back Transnistria, especially the Ukrainians coming from the other side. And maybe they say this 1,500 Russian soldiers, do you want to surrender? You're going to lose anyway, which they might do, give up quite easily. Russia might say it's war against you, but how are you going to get there when Ukraine's in the way? Obviously, there's a danger for Moldova. What if Russia wins and then Ukraine's on your border and you've got no allies? The other thing is, Russia's excuse for illegally occupying this country for decades, as part of the so-called peace creepers, they're aggressors. Russia, the country, started the civil war. Is there tons of Soviet military equipment from the Cold War era they haven't been able to remove? They haven't been able to remove it for 33 years. They removed it from all over the world, from South Yemen, stuff from Vietnam, from Cuba, you name it. But somehow they can't bring it back there. Obviously, until the war, they could have brought it back across Ukraine. The first 10 years of Ukrainian independence, relations are very, very cordial. So they could have taken it out that way. But anyway, there's a lot of Soviet military equipment that the Ukrainians could use. Of course, the Russian troops there could blow it up before surrender. Then you say NATO provoked Russia. Well, I say that's nonsense. Obviously, countries have a right to pursue their own foreign policy, to choose to join NATO or not. And Russia does not have a veto on who joins NATO, right? NATO decides that. Russia never asked anyone else if it could form the Collective Security Treaty Organization, which is pathetically small. Answer to NATO of only 6 member states. Russia provides about 80% of the manpower, about 90% of the heavy assets. So it may actually be a liability for Russia. It's a millstone around Russia's neck rather than something which enhances its strength. They've got some military bases in Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Armenia, and so on, but just diffuses their forces. But I don't think Maya Sandu is going to risk it. If Ukraine wins decisively, maybe she would do. But the Russian forces in Transnistria, they're about to surrender. The thing to do would be blow up all that Soviet military equipment first, but they might not do, just panic or say, well, we'll get better treatment in the prisons of war if we don't do this. But if when you go back to Mad Vlad, he will not be best pleased. You capitulated so easily and you didn't blow up all these armaments that the Ukrainians can then use. And then Moldova would probably have its territory back. Russia would not be finding it so easy to destabilize them. So we see who's going to join next. Georgia's planning to join the European Union, not for NATO. There was talk about it and so on, but that would hack off the Ruskies too much, already illegally occupying some of their country. So it's obviously Russia has provoked everybody else by murdering people in Salisbury and Berlin and elsewhere. There are up to a dozen Russian oligarchs that were murdered by Putin over the last 20 years in the United Kingdom alone, like Boris Berezovsky. And okay, that could have been suicide, which the British police concluded it was. As a weapons warehouse that blew up in Slovakia about 10 years ago and killed 2 security guards. I don't think the Russians wanted to kill the security guard. They just wanted to blow up the warehouse and so on. And similar incidents in Bulgaria. Warehouses are going to supply Ukraine. Anyway, thank you so much for watching my channel. Please make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Goodbye.